Praise God. Who's happy to be a child of God tonight? Amen. What glorious, what happy news to be reminded of that we are children of God, children of the living God. Praise God for that. I've been going through the book of Colossians every time I've come to speak for the past few months, and we are drawing to a close. We're in chapter 4, verses 2 through 6 tonight, and basically Paul is about or is getting close to ending his letter to the Christians in Colossae. And so, you know, when you want to leave somebody with a message and you want to make sure that, you know, you get across what you wanted to get across, usually you finalize things, you summarize things, you kind of give them, you know, the bullet points of what you've been talking about. And Paul kind of does this here at the end. So he's kind of summing up a lot of what he's been saying through this letter. And this is what he leaves the Colossians with, starting in verse 2, chapter 4. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us so that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ for which we are in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person." Amen. So, Paul is drawing close to the end of this letter that he's sending to the Colossians. And he leaves them with a few final kind of parting words of wisdom. And I believe that they apply to us here. They apply to Emmanuel Church for our situation, for our season, as we embark on this journey of building up Emmanuel Church, the different departments, the different areas of the church. I believe that there is wisdom that we can gain, that we can glean from what Paul had to say to the Colossians as well. And let me read verse 2 one more time, because this is what Paul says, just to remind ourselves. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving." So the first thing that Paul says that the Colossians need to do, and that we, as Emmanuel Church, need this emphasis, this focus, this tool that we need is prayer, right? Actually, no, that's not what he says. He says something a little bit different. And I think the difference is profound. I'm sorry, I kind of tricked you guys a little bit. I'm probably not going to get any amens tonight, because every time I say, you know, something, now you guys are not going to trust me. But he doesn't say, "All right, Colossians, what you got to do is pray." That's not what he says. He says, what you have to do is devote yourselves to prayer. And I think there's a distinction here, and it's important. He's going to get to prayer, right? We're going to end up praying. That's where we're getting to. But he says there's a key here. There's a key. It's not just praying that you have to do, because we all pray, right? We're Christians here. All of us pray throughout the day, maybe some more, maybe some less. But, I mean, I think if we go around and we ask each other, we all pray. We all spend time in prayer. But Paul says there's a key here. There's a point of emphasis that he wants to make. And he says, you can't just be praying, Colossians. You can't just be praying, Emmanuel Church. You have to devote yourselves to prayer. And Coco, let me ask you: if I said I wanted to devote myself to praying, to playing trumpet, what would that look like? What would that take? Hours of practice, right? Hours of practice, going through the fundamentals, learning the scales, right? Setting time aside to be just you and your trumpet, and just, you know, playing and playing over and over again, and practicing the simple things until they become so ingrained in you that, like, you it's just muscle memory, right? Like, if you devote yourself to something like playing the trumpet or playing football, right? Like, we know that intuitively, right? If somebody here said, I'm going to devote myself to playing football, American football, I want to become an NFL player. You know what you're not playing football once every 2 weeks, right? You're not playing football once a month. That takes practice, that takes finding mentors, that takes having a coach, that takes so much. When you talk about devoting yourself to something like playing the trumpet or playing football or anything else in this world, we know that it means something unique. There's an emphasis and a focus over there. And there's also an implicit sense of separation, right? There's a sense that Paul is implying that if you devote yourself to this, if you devote yourself to prayer, then you need to separate yourself from other things that are less important. There's a pruning that needs to happen in your life, in your spiritual life, in your spiritual walk. As an example, I know many women, right? But I'm devoted to one, right? I'm devoted to my wife, Naomi. Or maybe you're devoted to your career and you know exactly what you had to do and what you had to go through to get to where you are in your career, that you had to finish high school, that you had to go to college for 4 years or 6 years or 8 years. You had to go through training, on-the-job training. You had to go through seminars, through all these things that you had to do to be able to get to where you are. So there are many good things that you and I could be involved in, that we could be, you know, putting into our lives, even spiritually speaking. But what Paul is saying is that out of all the things that we could be practicing, even spiritual things that we could be practicing in our lives, prayer can't be just one of those things. Prayer needs to be primary. And I love what Pastor David has been saying and repeating over and over again, that, you know, as we seek the Lord to rebuild Emmanuel Church, as we seek the Lord's face for a vision and a plan, we can't come and bring our PowerPoints together or our spreadsheets together or come up with a plan, or, you know, this is what this church is doing, so let's take a little bit from them, and this is what this other church is doing, and we come up with our best ideas and we bring them together, and then bam, this is what it's gonna rebuild Emmanuel Church. No. What we need to do, pastors, board members, every single person in this church, is we need to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Amen? That's what we need to do. There's a sense of separation, but there's also a sense of persistence, as in don't give up. To be devoted to prayer means to be persistent and to not give up. And in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, Jesus gives this parable, and it's called the parable of the persistent widow. And it's this widow who's going to this judge who is godless, doesn't fear God, doesn't care about people, but she needs something from him. And she keeps going to him and pestering him and asking him to give her justice. And the judge, it says, in the end, he says, you know what? I don't care about this woman. I don't care about the justice that she seeks, but just to get her off my back, I'm gonna do what she's asking me to do. And Jesus says in verse 1 that this parable was given to them to show them the need for them to pray always and to not give up. And in our prayer lives and in being devoted to prayer, that's what it means, that when we say we want to pray for the lost sons and daughters of Emmanuel Church, it's not we prayed this morning and then we stop and we don't pray again until Pastor David brings it up again. When we say that we want to pray for the Lord to pour out his Holy Spirit over us, we don't pray on Monday once, we mention it, and then weeks go by. No, we need to be persistent. And whether we see the answer to our prayer today or next week or next month or months from now, we do not give up. But we keep persisting in that prayer, asking the Lord to answer that prayer. That's what it means to be devoted. And then the last thing is prayer. Being devoted to prayer means it's something that is continuous. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, it just says, pray constantly. Pray constantly. That's the whole verse. Really simple, but really important. But what does that mean? How can we pray constantly? Do we walk around like all day, 24/7 or 16 hours a day, is however many hours that we're awake, and we just keep talking to ourselves, or we keep talking to the Lord, we keep mumbling, our mouths keep moving? Obviously not, right? For one, we would probably be fired. We would probably end up in, you know, some kind of an asylum somewhere. That's not what it means. Because as one pastor put it, prayer is not so much the speaking of words as the posture of the heart. Prayer is not so much the speaking of words, but it's the posture of our heart. And that means that no matter what we are engaging in at the moment, the posture of our heart can be a posture of continuous prayer. And this is what Brother Lawrence, a medieval monk, said in The Practice of the Presence of God. He said, "The time of business does not differ with me from the time of prayer." So he says, whether I'm engaged in business or in prayer, for me, there is no difference. "And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees." He said, in the noise and clamor and clatter of the kitchen that I serve in, where people are pulling me in multiple directions, I have the tranquility, the same tranquility that I would have if I were in my prayer closet by myself on my knees praying to the Lord. Because it's not so much what I say, but the posture of my heart. My heart is always seeking the Lord. And then not only are we to be devoted, but Paul says in the latter part of verse 2, he says that we need to be alert. Alert. Not just devoted to prayer, but we need to be alert in prayer. Now, we're teaching our kids to pray, right? And obviously, Caleb, since he's the oldest, he's the first ones that we've gone through this process with. And at the beginning, we would just tell him to just repeat after us. So we would pray, and then we would say, "Caleb or Cora, just repeat what Daddy says, repeat what Mommy says." And then eventually we got to the point where we said, "Okay, Caleb, now it's your turn. Now don't just repeat what we say, but you pray, you talk to God." And he's like, "But I don't know how. Like, how do I pray?" And we try to explain to him that, you know, you just talk to God. There's nothing specific that you have to say, but you just talk to him and you tell him what's on your heart. And still he's like, but I don't know. How do I just talk to God? And so I thought, I'm going to give him a template that he can follow, that he can use in his prayers, and he could, you know, adjust as the situation, you know, needs. And I said, "Okay, Caleb, so first we have to thank God for everything that we have and everything that he's given. So we always start with, 'Thank you, Jesus, for everything today.' And then we have to ask him to forgive us because we sin. So we have to say, 'And Lord, please forgive me.' And then we can ask, and then at the end, we can ask him for the things that we need and, you know, please protect us and whatever else that we need." And what do you think happened? To this day, every time Caleb prays, he begins with, "Thank you, Jesus, for everything today. Please forgive us. Please protect us." And then he goes into his actual prayer. That's like, it's as if he has a little preamble to his prayer. So if we're sitting down to eat food, he says, "Thank you, Jesus, for everything today. Please forgive us. Please protect us." And then he prays for the food. If we're about to leave the house, he says, "Thank you, Jesus, for everything today. Please forgive us, please protect us." And then he goes on with his prayer. And to me, it's too cute for me to correct them right now. But for us, for the rest of us, we, you know, that's not what prayer is about. It's not like, it's not a bunch of absent-minded words that we put on repeat. And we just go and we check them off and I said the right words, you know, I went through my script and I'm done. That's not what prayer is, and that's not what being alert in prayer is. Instead, it means being intentional when we pray. And it means being intentional with our connection with God, amen? That's what prayer and being alert in prayer means. And then the last thing that he says, not only do we need to be devoted and alert in prayer, but he says we need to be thankful. When we go before the Lord in praying for whatever we're praying for, we need to be thankful. Bring a heart of gratitude to our prayer. And another quote that I love that I read was, prayer is not what we do to get God to see things our way, but rather to get us to see things his way. So let me repeat that. Prayer is not getting God to see things our way, but it's getting us to see things His way. And one of the best ways that I know how to do that is to be thankful for, because I think I've said this before, but sometimes it's difficult to pray, right? Like sometimes I have a hard time. I don't know, you know, the day's gone bad, or the kids haven't been listening, I yelled a little bit too much, or whatever, you know, like you guys have the same stuff. And you're like, man, I need to pray, but I have all this other stuff that I'm thinking of or worrying about or whatever, or I'm upset. And it's just hard to get, it's hard to get into it. But every time I start by thanking God and going through the whole host of things that I can be thankful for, man, my heart changes. My attitude changes. My mind, my mentality, my perspective on my situation changes. And then I begin to see the goodness of God and how gracious and merciful and loving and kind and patient He is with me. And then I'm like, man, how, you know, God, of course you're such a good God. Of course I can pray to you now. You're the God who answered my prayer. You're the God who I am thankful to because of your goodness towards me. So of course I can go into prayer. So Paul says the first thing that we need to do as Colossians, as members of Emmanuel Church, is we need to pray. We need to be devoted to prayer. We need to be alert in prayer. We need to be thankful when we pray. The second thing that he says is in verses 3-4, and he says, at the same time, pray also for us so that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. So here's the thing. Paul is letting us know that as he's writing this letter to the Colossians, he is in chains. At the time of the writing of this letter, he is in jail. He's in prison. And I would have thought, if I were in his shoes, if I was in his place, and I was in a jail cell, if I was in prison, I have my wife, I have my kids, I have my church, that I would much rather be with. If my hands and my feet were in chains, that I would pray or that I would ask the Colossians or whoever was willing to listen, pray to God that I would get out of here. Pray to God that these jail doors, these prison doors would crack open and I could walk out of here into the freedom that I used to enjoy so that I can continue serving God in the way that I did before. And that's the thing that blows my mind as I read this. And as Paul is again writing the last, kind of like his last words of advice, his last opportunity to speak to the Colossians, to tell them what's on his heart, he doesn't say, guys, you know, I've written you all these things that you need to know and need to do, but please, ultimately, don't forget about me. Don't forget to pray that I would be set free. And he doesn't. Instead, what Paul does is he says, pray for me that here in prison, that here in jail, not that I would be set free, not that I would get out of here, but that I would be able, that I would have the opportunity to continue preaching the gospel. Because ultimately, that is what is most important. And that is the priority in my life, above the chains that I'm in, above the prison that I find myself in. What I am seeking to do is to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God, to make Jesus Christ known. And maybe most of us and most of the people that we know, we're not in prison. That's not what we're facing right now. Although the way things are going in this country and in the world, that day might come. And it's probably closer than many of us imagine. That one day, some of us, maybe many of us, will find ourselves in prisons and behind bars for preaching and for speaking the name of Jesus Christ. That day is not now. But maybe the prison or the chains that you find yourself in are sickness or financial problems, or broken relationships, or something else. And our temptation, and it's natural. It's natural. Nobody's accusing anybody of anything. But our tendency is to pray, Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, fix this relationship. Lord, answer this prayer of mine. And in that situation, in those circumstances, we hear God saying, Colleen, Emmanuel Church, put me first. And I think sometimes that can be jarring, right? But I'm in jail. What do you mean, put me first? But I'm sick. God, what can't you show me a little bit of compassion? I'm sick. I'm struggling. I'm suffering. I'm in pain. And still we hear the word of God saying, put me first. As we read in the Gospels, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the will of God. Seek first to serve God. And it's not out of any sense of selfishness, because what follows after that is just as important, because he says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you, right? All these things that you need and that you're praying for and that you're seeking me for will be added unto you. But the secret is this: seek first the kingdom and you will get those other things. But if you seek first those other things, you might not get either. And I loved Becca's testimony last week, 2 weeks ago, when she was talking about her mom and how her mom went through cancer. And in that story, she mentioned a person who, because of the way that God worked in Becca's mom's life and through that cancer, he was a non-believer, and he ended up giving his life to Jesus. And Becca said that her mom said, if I knew that somebody would end up giving their life to Christ because of me going through cancer, I would be willing to go through it again. And that is a woman who has her priorities straight. That is a woman who is putting God first, because it's not somebody who's speaking out of ignorance. This is a woman who has already gone through cancer, who has already felt the pain of cancer, who has already endured the surgeries and the chemotherapy and all that of cancer. And she's saying, I would be willing to go through that again just to know that somebody through my story would come to know Jesus. And it's the same thing that God said to my mom. You know, as she was finding out that she had cancer, and people were praying for her, she would say, you know, let the Lord's will be done. And God spoke to her prophetically and said, don't ask for me to heal you. Ask that my will would be done. And that's what we've been doing, and that's what she's been doing faithfully, not saying, Lord, please heal me, but Lord, let your will be done in my life. And that's what I believe all of us need to do in whatever situation and circumstance that we find ourselves, however difficult, however painful it might be, we need to have our priorities straight. And Lord, let your will be done in my life. Amen? And I read this story about a woman in Arkansas who was being robbed. And the robbers, there were two of them. One of them put her in the closet, and they were taking her furniture and everything out of the house, loading it into a truck that was, you know, on the street. And as the woman, you know, was put in the closet, she got on her knees and she talked to the robber who was inside the house still and said, "Can I please pray for you?" And the robber said, "Okay, sure." And the woman started praying, and she said, I just want you to know that God loves you and I forgive you. And when the robber heard this woman praying for him, he stopped what he was doing and he yelled to his buddy out in the truck, and he said, okay, we got to unload everything, put all the furniture back in the house. This woman's Christian. We can't do this to her. And I love that example. This woman, in the middle of being robbed, wasn't praying, Lord, deliver me, Lord, save me. But she said, Lord, save him. Lord, save this person who is trying to destroy my house right now. And I think that is such a wonderful example. And we have such wonderful examples to follow. Ultimately, and most of all, we have Jesus, who in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was facing the cross, he said, not Lord, deliver me, not Lord, get me out of here, but Lord, let your will be done. On the cross, he didn't say, Lord, get me off of this cross. But he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here Paul, in prison, in chains, he's not saying, Lord, get me out of this jail. He said, Lord, what I want is more opportunities to preach the gospel and to make your name known. So may the Lord help us to be men and women who have our priorities straight. Amen? And then lastly, third, so we have prayer, we have priorities, and then thirdly, we have perspicuity. Everybody say no, I'm kidding. It's not. I couldn't find a P word to say to, you know, for my last point. So the last thing that we need is wisdom and efficiency. Here's what verses 5 through 6 say. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. And so, as we embark on this journey, again, to rebuild Emmanuel Church, to rebuild our church, our relationships, our community, we need to be wise and we need to be efficient. And brothers and sisters, we have no time to lose. We have zero time to lose. Why? Couple reasons. I think you've noticed the world is getting worse and worse, right? Look around, look on the news, look on social media, look in your neighborhood. Wherever you look, things are getting worse, right? The world is getting worse, so we have no time to lose. The world needs us, and the world needs you personally, individually, more than ever, to preach the gospel, to be an example, to reach out to the lost. The world needs you, not just what you're doing here in church, but, you know, whether you're an usher or a Sunday school teacher or whatever, but where God has placed you, in your school and in your workplace, God needs you to be the man and woman of Christ that you need to be over there. We don't have any time to lose. And then lastly, because Jesus is coming soon, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming soon. I can't wait for that day. But that means that if we want that day to come and we want that day to be nearer than farther, then we need to get to work. We need to begin preaching the gospel like we've never preached the gospel before. We need to be working like we've never worked before. We need to be loving each other and the world like we've never loved before. We all need to work with maximal efficiency and maximal efficacy. But one last thing that we need to remember. You know, when we're focused on being efficient, when we're focused on being efficacious, one thing that we can lose of is grace. We can lose sight of it is grace. One thing that we can lose sight of is mercy. So that's why Paul says, you know, it's important to be efficient. It's important to work. It's important to do the work of God. But don't forget to be gracious and seasoned in finality. In your striving for efficiency, in your striving for efficacy, don't forget, and let us not forget as a church, to be gracious to one another, to be gracious to each other, to be loving, to be forgiving, to be patient, to be encouraging to each other. So I pray that the Lord helps us to be that church, that as we embark on this journey, we are a church that is devoted to prayer. We are a church that has our priorities straight, and we are a church that acts in wisdom and in grace towards one another and towards the world. Amen.